Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to the Arkham Files, an actual play Call of Cthulhu RPG podcast, featuring Donovan Ballard as Dr. Simeon Can't Stand You Bits.
All right, guys, give me this brick. I'm going to throw it through a window.
Sam Morrison as Major Frederick Aloysius Bakersfield.
They didn't call me the actor in the war for nothing.
Abel Morrison as Officer Billy McConnell.
He's only been dead for a couple hours, and yet he looked days dead.
Seth Morrison as Tallahassee Turner.
I gotta practice my getaway driving for the first time ever.
Peter Morrison as Dominic Drunkard.
I'm begging you, please just tell my friend the truth.
There's always mysterious murders around here. Welcome to Arkham, buddy.
Now grab onto some dice and your sanity. Let's roll.
Major Bakersfield.
Yeah.
You turn on the windshield wipers as the rain and sleet starts up again, as the day is waning on into the dusk hours. The sky lights up in colorful hues as the sun is going down behind the horizon in the distance. As the three of you head north across the bridge, and you head over to, and then take a right, heading east down to the outskirts of town. This area of town used to be one of the wealthier areas back in old Arkham. There are a lot of large Georgian mansions here that look like they would have been amazing in their heyday. Beautiful architecture and situated on large plots of land with spacious yards. But many and most of them have all fallen into disrepair. And now they hover over the street, giving more of an ominous feeling, as if they're looming, looking down on you with their black and empty windows. The mansions taper off down the road as you keep driving. Down on the right, on the riverside, you see the location that you are looking for. It's on the riverside of the street. You see the river in the background, though it's dark, reflecting the last glimmers of light off of the ripples of the water. As you pull up in front of what looks like maybe once was a nice little cottage, or at least a modest little cottage, but is now run down and somewhat ramshackle and little more than a shack at this point. Tallahassee Turner, Major Bakersfield, Dom Drunkard. What do you do?
Shall we park down the street a ways so we can come up on it unawares?
That's probably a good idea. Who's driving?
That was what I was going to say. I'm driving.
You're driving.
I'm driving.
He's
driving.
I kind of assumed Bakersfield was driving.
Bakersfield, you're driving. I don't know how to drive. Plus I'm drunk.
Let me pull over up here. Hold
I
on.
Had a few too many ranch shots back at O'Malley's.
Yes!
Flaming
O'Malley's
ranch.
O'Malley's spoken like a man who can't hold ranch his ranch.
O'Malley's is famous for their ranch shots and their Irish ranch coffees.
Their flaming ranch
their
shots.
Their ranch
coffee. Their I-Ranch coffees.
Yeah. I-Ranch. All right, I'm going to pull over up here. Okay, done.
Okay, so Major Bakersfield, you pull the car off to the side of the road a little ways past the house in question to hopefully be a little less conspicuous as you're making your way towards this run-down old house. So as the three of you climb out of the car, you glance around. This area of the city seems to be pretty dead. There are other houses nearby. You don't see anybody in them. A lot of dark windows, a lot of abandoned homes in this area. You see a couple people on the street, on the sidewalks, walking nearby or down the street a little ways, but nobody seems to be paying you any attention.
Does anyone have an umbrella? For some reason I can't quite describe, I really don't like being wet.
As you guys see Bakersfield just taking his hand and wiping it off on his hair, on his hat, and his beret he always wears. Okay. So you guys make your way down the street, heading towards the house. The front yard, it doesn't have a large yard, but there is a yard that is somewhat overgrown and unkempt. As you walk up the walkway towards the front door.
Can we split up a little bit?
Sure, you go off on your own.
Well,
see you, Tallahassee.
Well, I was thinking maybe Dom and I should go through the front, and Bakersfield, you sneak around back.
Ah, I'm good at that. Remember how I caught the Miskatonic Mangler?
Yeah.
Yeah, netted him.
Classic.
All right, I like your thinking, Tallahassee. I'm going to go around back. You guys go up to the front. Meet in the middle.
All right, Bakersfield, are you trying to be covert about this?
Or? Oh, of course I'm going to be covert all day long. All
right, wait, what do they call you stealth, in what do they call you in the army?
Mr. Sneaky Feet.
They didn't call me Mr. Sneaky Feet in the war for nothing.
All right, Mr.
Oh,
Sneaky
man, my
feet.
Stealth
roll
sucks.
Roll your stealth.
Well, who?
I've got good stealth. Maybe I should go around back.
Maybe, yeah, Dom, maybe you go around back.
All right, I'm going to go around back instead of Bakersfield.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's not as metagaming once you learn that Mr. Sneaky Feet sucks at sneaking.
We just didn't.
Major Bakersfield says he's going around back. He's going around back. So, Major Bakersfield, roll your stealth.
This is bull.
I'm going to roll a 1, and then I'm going to be able to increase
the
stat.
Then we're
going to
say in your face, keeper man.
Sneaky feet.
Woo-hoo-hoo! 13 out of 20, baby. Oh! Yeah, man. They didn't call me Mr. Sneaky Feet for nothing.
All right. Freaking guys. Okay, so Major Bakersfield. As Major Bakersfield sneaks off around the edge of the house.
Summons his inner cat.
Yeah. His inner cat.
Seriously.
It's like there's something inside of him that is just taking his stealthiness to the next level. You guys have never seen him be so sneaky. Though now you do understand why in the army they called him Mr. Sneaky Feet. As his netted backside slips around the edge of the house to the backyard. All right, Tallahassee, Turner, and Dom, you just walk up to the front door.
Yeah, I turn and I say, "Hey, Baker, where'd he go?" Yeah, but I slide out my gun and hold it, you know, kind of down to the side behind my leg a little bit.
Cool. I like it. All right, so you guys walk up to the front door. What do you do?
Knock.
Okay.
All day long.
You knock on the door. There's a couple windows in the front door. There's a small little There's a small, like, step-up porch, though it's not much of one. About two steps, and then you're on a little cement pad, really, that passes for its porch. There's a small side window next to the door. As you knock, you wait for a moment. You don't hear any response from inside. Major Bakersfield, working around to the back of the house, you do have to hop a little fence in the back. There is a bit of a backyard. And one of the features of this house that was probably something that was one of its main selling points back when it was first built is the river access back here. It actually goes all the way back to the river, and there's a little pier that goes out to maybe launch a small boat or, you know, go swimming off of. It's cold out right now for everybody. It is very chilly. It's the end of November, and this is just a freezing sleet that's coming down, and it does look like it is actually starting to turn into ice and snow once it hits the ground around you. So Bakersfield, as you see that, you come around, you do see a little back door. There's a couple windows on the back of the house. What do you do?
Well, the first thing I do is I notice the trash can's still there, so I grab it and I wheel it around front.
Okay. And then you beat the heck out of it with a stick.
That's what the note
said. The note said, take out the trash.
Done. Let's go.
Done and done.
Does the back door have a doggy door?
No, there's no doggy door in the back.
What about a cat door?
Absolutely, there's a cat door. Right. You slip right inside. Even though you're a full-sized human, somehow you fit through the cat door.
Can I look through the window on the door?
You sure can.
All right, I'm going to go look
through. Head through the cat door and look.
And there's a kid, Kevin McLeod's there with a BB gun.
Hello.
All right, I'm going to go look through the window.
Okay. You look through the back window, and it looks in on the kitchen. And it looks like a kitchen. It looks clean for the most part. You don't see anything out, like, on the counters or, like, plates or dishes or anything. It's small, and there's a door to the side that looks like maybe near where the... there's a door on the back wall across from you that leads out to the rest of the house, and then it looks like this is where the back door opens up into is this kitchen. You don't see anybody in there. It's dark. There aren't any lights on.
All right. I tried the door handle. Is it unlocked?
It is.
All right. I go in.
Okay. As you do, you hear the knocks from up front.
I go answer the door.
Okay. So Major Bakersfield walks through the door across from the back door. It opens up into a small living room with a bunch of secondhand furniture. There's a coffee table in front of a kind of threadbare couch, some end tables, a lamp. There's a small desk up against the wall. There's another door to the left down a little hallway. So, like, it opens, and then there's a little hallway to the left. So, opens up on the living room. That's straight ahead. You see the front door with the furniture I described off to the right of the front door. And then, yes, to the left, there's a wall and a hallway that goes down there, and there's a couple doors, one to the right and one to the left.
Are all the lights off everywhere?
Yes, all the lights are off. It's dark in here.
All right.
You can still see from the last bit of sunlight from the setting sun outside.
Well, there's going to be vampires here. I feel it. All right, yeah, I open the front door. I let him in. Oh, hey.
I immediately shoot him.
So the front door opens, Tallahassee and Dom, and Major Bakersfield is standing there.
Oh.
You shoot him. Major Bakersfield, a gun goes off in your face as soon as the door opens.
You live here, Major Bakersfield?
Yeah, you finally caught me.
This whole thing was a ploy to get us to take out your trash.
To finally get you guys to come over to his house.
Yeah.
He killed his wife and all these other people just to get you guys to come over and hang out with him.
Finally.
All right, we step into the house quietly and close the door.
Oh, Bakersfield, as you're walking up to the front door, something you do notice is the pile of mail sitting on the inside of the door on the floor.
Is there a mail slot on the door?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like someone's been picking it up and then bringing it in and dropping it.
Yeah, so as you open the door, it pushes this pile of mail out of the way.
I keep it all.
And you keep it all. That's a federal offense.
We find a mail tub, and we write them a note saying the mail has been taken back to the post office and that they are now on hold.
Only for 10 days, and
it
then we return it.
It will be returned in 10 days. Yeah.
You do, in fact, find a mail tub because everybody keeps them, regardless of it also being a federal offense, and because they're the most useful totes that have ever been invented history of the world.
It's the one good thing the post office has ever done.
Can we
take a look at the mail?
Yeah, I was going to say, I pick up a piece of mail, and I look at the name on the mail.
It says John Johnson.
So, as you guys all come in, and do you shut the door? Do you all come in the house?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So you come in, you shut out the weather behind you as you enter the house. You guys pick up the mail and start looking through it. And this is one piece that you find looking for some information as to who the actual owner of the home is, who might actually live here. So let me share.
This piece of mail is going to say resident on it. I just know it.
Yeah, resident. It's a box holder.
Box holder.
It's the box holder that Newman sent out in Under a Winter Snow.
Okay.
All current resident.
I'm having a PTSD from too much mail work.
Yeah. All right. So here you go, guys.
Electric bill.
This says Anna Fairbairns.
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 To
Arkham Edison Company Drive. What? Huh? 470 Marsh Street, Arkham, Massachusetts. What does that say?
Right, that's the address.
Did you say Marsh?
Okay, that's the
this is where we're at. We're at 816 East Water Street.
So the resident of this home is Anna Fairbairns.
Past due.
It is past due.
So yes, you find an electric bill amongst the other letters and junk mail and catalogs on the ground here.
Anna Fairbairns.
This is not Mel Torme.
Duh. And there is an electric bill that is addressed to this location, to this home of 816 East Water Street, the name on which is Anna Fairbairns.
All right, so Harmon Vance had a note in his pocket to come take out the trash.
I think we all agree that is a euphemism for taking out Anna Fairbairns.
Unless he was taking her out on a date and somebody just thought she was trash.
Maybe, I mean, let's search the house, because we really have no idea if Harmon Vance knew how to deal with floaters.
Real trashy lady. Real easy.
Let's go check the toilet.
All right.
See if they float back up.
Oh my God. I think Vance knew.
All right, we're
going to
search the house.
They obviously did not send Spencer, so there could be a floater.
Okay.
Should somebody keep an eye out?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do that, Tallahassee?
Tallahassee, keep an eye out.
I pull out one of my eyes.
I want you guys to all roll spot hiddens.
Oh, roll.
All right.
So who's doing what? Is everybody searching the house?
No, Tallahassee Turner is keeping an eye out.
Yeah, I guess I'll look out the window.
And me and the major
I'll peeve out the window.
Does the house have two floors, like an upstairs and a downstairs?
I pull out my 911 just in case.
No, it's a single floor.
As we go searching through this unknown
house.
You
said it was a single floor?
So hard success on my spot hidden.
I succeeded in my spot hidden row.
I failed horribly.
32 out of 46.
Nothing.
Okay, Tallahassee Turner, I want you to also roll a spot hidden if you're the one that's keeping watch.
Yeah, I did. I got a hard success, 28 out of 85.
Okay, excellent.
That's pretty good.
All right, Major Bakersfield, you succeeded also?
No,
I failed horribly. I have a hard time seeing out of one eye.
That's true. I actually there's should a be lot making that, you roll with
there's
disadvantage.
There's a lot that eludes me. No, don't make me roll with penalty dice.
He already failed.
You're the one who got your eyeball blown out.
Kick me while I'm down, why don't you?
Yeah. I rolled a soft success.
Well, you are known for doing that, Major Bakersfield.
Kicking me while I'm down?
Kicking people while they're down.
Yeah.
Ooh.
They suck.
So, all right.
That's not your
so,
voice.
Major Bakersfield, you're kind of just, you know, moseying around.
Mosey.
Dom, you're searching through the living room here, digging through. You go back and you're looking at the desk. So one thing that you do notice, like, pretty quickly, Tallahassee, are you just kind of standing, are you looking out those front windows?
Yeah, but I'm, like, peeving on the from the side of the curtains or whatever if I can.
Okay. Yeah, cool. All right. So, Dom, one of the first thing that you notice as you, it was almost immediately as you walked in the house and just started glancing around, you notice that there aren't any, like, there's almost nothing in here that's like personally identifiable. Looking at the walls, you actually see faded parts, like faded places on the wallpaper where it looks like there used to be photographs hanging up, but they are gone.
Just look at this photograph.
If you notice, the lead singer of Nickelback appears to have taken all of these photographs off the walls.
Does the living room look like a boxing ring?
So yeah, this is how you remind me.
Sorry, I was meta singing. Sorry.
No, I also don't know
you guys
any
hear
other
the Nickelback song on the wind. Floating in as Simi sings along to his favorite band.
It starts playing over the radio in our pocket.
Yeah. Is there like
you guys are more afraid than you've ever been throughout any of it.
Roll
you're
sanity.
Like, no, bring back the ghostly
can
whispers.
I,
please.
Have this stuck in our head for the rest of our lives.
Can I tell if the house has been empty for a while? Like, is there dust covering any surfaces
there's
or anything?
There's a big
like
pile
that
of mail.
True.
Yeah.
That was a stupid
a
question. I withdraw the stupid question.
So we notice the pictures on the walls are gone.
And looking around, you see that there is a layer of dust on the floor, on most everything here in the living room that you can see. So you do get the impression that there hasn't been anybody here for a while. So as you're searching around, Bakersfield is kind of fumbling around, you know, kind of perfunctorily, like maybe his mind is on other things, preoccupied by something else. Tallahassee Turner is standing by the window, peeking out, you know, sliding the curtains open with his bullwhip as he puts his eagle eyes out on the street, keeping watch. Dom... one of the first things you really that is of interest that you find, and it is one of the things that you do also notice in the house, is the house is pretty tidy, which, if I didn't mention before, it doesn't seem like much is really out of place or anything. It looks pretty clean and tidy and kept up in this room. So, but over on the desk, or in the desk up against the wall, you do find this business card that does
Ricky
spark
Dubois.
Some interest.
Ricky Dubois.
Ricky Dubois.
Arkham Gazette. Is that like a newspaper agency?
Ricky Dubois.
It says
reporter.
And music, moron.
Well, you
it's
are not
Arkham,
here, so you can't call me a moron.
Oh, sorry, the local newspaper.
You can't metamoron me.
I can metamoron whoever I want. No one makes me metamoron.
He only met a moron when he met you.
Whoa! Oh! Oh! This is too rude, guys. I quit.
Okay, so
get over it.
My
so yes, you do
dead.
Find.
Oh, is your wife dead? You are so uncool.
You know what, Simi?
So uncool.
So uncool. This kid is totally uncool. All right, anyway. Ricky Dubois. Reporter, Arkham Gazette, Arts and Music.
You guys done?
Yeah, we're done with this bit.
Are we done with this bit?
Yeah, we're done with this bit.
Are you sure we're done with this bit?
I'm a bit done.
I'm a bit done with this bit.
Is this bit still a bit?
All right, so is there a telephone in the home? I would like to call Ricky Dubois.
How much does it?
It's
Dubois.
Dubois.
Are you sure it's not Dubois?
It's Dubois.
It's Dubois.
It's Dubois. Is this Dirty Mike and Dubois? Was there an old there bottle of mustard in that?
Is there
drawer
a poodle? Is there a poodle around here?
Gosh.
Is there a poodle
around here? Oh, the poodle's dead. No one's fed it.
It ate all the mustard.
Okay, we're done.
We're done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you guys done?
We're done.
We're done. Okay, I'd like to use... Right. Is there a telephone in the home? I'd like to call this Ricky Dubois.
So, if we haven't described Ricky Dubois' business card, you do see... Oh, yeah. So, on... You pull it out, you're looking at it. It's a business card from Arkham Gazette for a man named Ricky Dubois. It says reporter, arts and music, and then it has the address for the Arkham Gazette. And written, handwritten on the business card also is a phone number. The business card is a little stained, a little worse for wear, but it is intact and the phone number is legible. And yes, there is a phone number in the house. It is on the desk over here. But as you're reaching down to pick up the phone, something else catches your eye suddenly as you look back down to the desk. And
what do you mean by eye?
And the room just falls silent. What?
I said, whoa, what do you mean by eye?
sorry. Your eye, not eyes, just eye, single eye.
Did someone catch his eye? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, okay, nobody's eyes have been caught. Okay, so Dom, as you're reaching down, you look down on the desk and you see, and everything kind of falls silent as you look down on the, sitting there is another business card. And you look at that subtle coloring, the tasteful thickness. Oh my gosh, it even has a watermark. It's Paul Allen's business card.
The Paul Allen.
Sorry, that's my favorite scene of all time from American Psycho when they're all comparing business cards.
Oh, I never watched that. Never seen it.
I was about to say, who the hell is Paul Allen?
A lot of other... Your kids are going to love it.
Who's the American Psycho? Seen it.
It's one of the best scenes of all time.
Are
they're
you
all comparing
serious,
business
Sam?
Cards. And they all look the exact
Do
same.
I look serious?
Sam just made me feel really stupid.
I just met
him. Okay, moving on. So real quick, I would like you guys to roll a second spot hidden also, if you would.
Here we go.
While you're doing this search.
Oh, I succeeded.
I failed.
I got 42 out of 46.
Okay, so Dom Drunkard, you succeeded. Bakersfield, you failed again. But also, Bakersfield, I want you to roll a luck for me real quick.
Okay. Woohoo! I succeeded. I got a 22 out of 52. That's a hard success.
So, Major Bakersfield, as you're wandering around kind of checking things a little bit, you pop into the kitchen for a second through the door that you left open. And you trip and stumble as you do, and you're tripping and stumbling over this kind of runner carpet that runs between the living room and the back door through the kitchen. And the thing that you notice, Dom, as this happens, as Bakersfield does this, you notice that as he does this, the rug, that runner carpet, does not move at all, even through all of the movement that Bakersfield is putting over this and through this and on top of that.
Okay, I...
What about underneath this?
On this carpet.
I try to move the runner.
Okay, so yeah, so this catches your attention. You walk back over there and you reach down, you grab the rug and you pull up on it and it doesn't move.
Start pulling and tugging.
All right, I want to... Can I do like a strength check? Hey, Major, come help me try to move this
runner.
All
right, here, let's pull up on three. Ready? All 18, right. 37, 41.
All right, I'm going to do a strength check. Can I have a bonus die
One,
for that?
One, two, five.
Major's
yeah, you can yeah, roll with a bonus die with Major Bakersfield helping you.
All right, here
for,
I go.
For real.
All right, I succeeded. I rolled a 13, which is Woo. A hard, an extreme success.
All right, Dom, pull hard.
Okay, so Tallahassee Turner, as these Doofy behind you are messing around with a rug in the kitchen, you're glancing out the window to the front, you know, just kind of propping it open with your bullwhip as you eyeball, single eyeball, both eyes, actually, keeping both eyes on the street, because you can, because you have two eyes, unlike other investigators.
Whoa. I don't like these jokes.
Okay, so the thing, so you do notice there are a couple people out on the street. There is one figure that is walking on your side of the street of the house, in the house that you're on. And he's walking just, you know, looking kind of like maybe he's just out for a nice leisurely evening stroll. But he does, when he starts getting closer to the house near the edge of the yard, he does stop and just kind of start, you know, fumbling around a little bit, or, you know, looking around, looking at his pockets, just kind of glancing around, looking at the scenery. And there is another person across the street down a little bit farther that is also heading towards the house where you're at.
All right. Can I tell if there's anything like in their hands or like weapons or anything? Can I tell if they're shady characters?
The guy that's closer to you, yeah, he does look a little bit disheveled, maybe. You can't make out anything in his hands necessarily, and you can't quite tell if he is suspicious or not, but he is hanging out in the vicinity, so.
All right, I'm going to keep a close eye on them.
Okay, just the one?
Yeah, the other one's going to go to the side.
Being sensitive to Major Bakersfield?
Yeah.
Thanks, Tallahassee. I really appreciate that.
I got you, boo.
A single tear rolls down Major Bakersfield's cheek.
Down my single eye.
Okay, so Dom Drunkard and Major Bakersfield, you guys squat down, lift with your legs, not your back. Okay, so you guys get a good grasp on the edges of the rug here, and you pull up on it, and at first it doesn't move, but then it starts to make a ripping noise as it comes away from the floor. And as it does, Dom, your suspicions are confirmed, and it is in fact glued to the floor, as you see lines of glue on the floor, the hardwood floor underneath, and the underside of the rug. But that seems of less concern as the smears of blood that are on the hardwood floor beneath this, that it appears maybe this was placed to obscure. It does look like maybe some effort was made to clean it up, but rather than finish the job, it looks like this was placed down to maybe hide it better so that nobody could use any other techniques to maybe discover any remnants or traces of it.
Nice. Well, it looks like Harmon succeeded in taking out the trash.
At least most of it.
Yeah.
Tallahassee, we found something.
You see this blood? In this glue?
There's blood and glue.
There's blood and glue all over here.
What'd you guys find?
We found blood and glue.
You found what?
Blood glue. And glue.
And blood.
Blue blood?
We found glud.
Oh, glud. Okay, I know exactly what that is.
We found glue. Somebody glued this runner down.
Runner?
And then they covered up the blood with the runner and the glue.
So it sounds like Anna Fairbairns is no more.
Probably.
She's been demised.
Either that or somebody else was demised here.
Well, there's a couple shady characters out here out front that I'm keeping an eye on. Both up. Just one eye.
Shady characters? Well, thank you. You can keep two on if you need. If there's more than one of them, use two eyes. I don't mind.
Keeping one eye on each of them.
Okay.
Okay. So, Tallahassee, are you still You're still watching out front?
Yeah.
Or the bad guy, I mean, all the shady characters coming any closer.
Yeah, break the glass and shoot him with my gun.
Good man.
Okay.
Speaking of, Tallahassee, do you have a gun on you?
Yeah, I already
We all have guns on us.
Okay. Draw 'em.
This is America. Okay. We're made of guns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my gun was already drawn before we came in the house.
Yeah. He's using that to push the curtain, not his bullwhip.
All right, well, Tallahassee, keep an eye on them, and if they get any closer or do anything that seems out of the ordinary, just go like this.
Hey, I know. I'll go.
Oh!
Nice.
Like, yeah, yeah, I know the drill.
We high five.
Can you form some sort of rudimentary lathe?
Dig a tunnel under the house and plant some booby traps.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start a kill box.
Let's create a kill box.
Yeah!
All right, while these guys are looking at the shady characters in the front, I do want to complete that call to Mr. Ricky Dubois.
What are you going to ask me to be? Okay.
I would like to know if he knows Anna Fairbairns.
All right, so Dom, you head back over to the telephone that's sitting on the desk over there up against the wall. Major Bakersfield, so the thing you also, as you're investigating some more and you're looking at this blood, you keep pulling up on the carpet and you see the streaks of blood streak towards the back door.
She is in the trash can. Did I not notice any streaks outside when I was coming?
You didn't look.
All right, I'm going to go look. I'm going to follow the trail of blood.
Okay. So Bakersfield, as you're following this, these streaks, Dom, you go in, you pick up the receiver on the phone, and start dialing in this number. Bakersfield, you open the back door, you walk outside, there's a little bit of a pad just outside the back door. So roll a spot hidden.
All right, I'm going to roll a spot hidden.
Okay, roll spot hidden.
I failed. 61 out of 51.
Dude, you suck.
I have one eye.
I know you have one eye, but you have a terrible eye.
Bakersfield, give me an idea check also.
That's intelligence, like, right?
Yeah. Intelligence, yeah.
Oh, my word. 95 out of 60. There's way too much steam out here. I'm rolling with my left hand. Hold on.
His brain is too fogged by his rage.
Okay, I succeed.
All right, you can fail, or you could see if somebody wants to come help you, like Tallahassee.
Hey, does anyone have any ideas? Come out here.
Not like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so Major Bakersfield, you are looking around in the backyard. You do lose the trail once you come out here. You're looking. The backyard is fenced off. It's fairly small and narrow, but it does lead back to the river here, and there's that little pier. Dom, you are on the phone, and the phone is ringing as Bakersfield is searching. Billy McConnell and Dr. Simeon can't stand you bits.
Hey!
As you guys are walking through the main receiving area of the hospital, I want you to roll a spot hidden.
Oh,
and really, man. Well, Billy McConnell, I want you to roll a spot hidden. Okay. And Simeon, I want you to roll a listen.
All right, here we go.
All right, here we go. 22. That's
hard or success. Extreme success.
Yeah. Hard success for me.
Okay, so as you are both walking through the main, like, reception area of the hospital, Billy McConnell, you happen to glance over to the reception desk, and you spot somebody that you recognize. It is Detective Crane from the police station, and he is actually standing next to an older gentleman who is very finely dressed. He has white hair that is also very finely styled. Looks like a very proper gentleman. He's in a fine suit, and he's standing up near the front. They're talking to the receptionist at the desk. And Dr. Simi, as they're talking, you hear the younger man standing there, who is Detective Crane, but you don't know who that is, who's wearing a trench coat and a fedora, talking to the older gentleman, and you hear him say, yes, Mr. Goddard, he's back here. The older gentleman responds, and he says, so, tell me exactly what happened. Okay, so last night we brought him in. He was downtown. He was raving. He was fighting with a bunch of hobos. So we picked him up, but he's in a pretty bad shape, seems. So we brought him down here. We didn't want to bring him into the police station, get anything on record. You know, we didn't want to cause any problems for you there. So they brought him in here last night. He's been here. They got him back in one of the rooms here. He says, okay. Take me to him.
Ooh.
So what do you do?
Oh. Ball time. Obviously you sneak.
Billy. I'm going to throw a brick through this window. Let's get out of here. Your boss is here.
Hey, Simi. You see those guys over there? The younger guy is Detective Crane.
Yeah, did you hear what he just said?
To see me. No, what'd he say?
He said this.
So Dr. Simeon relays the conversation back.
Can you believe that? Well, Goddard's here. Goddard's here.
So Goddard, if that's Goddard, then yeah, they're probably talking about his son. Did we see? So we watched them, and they didn't see us.
They haven't seen you.
Are they walking in a different direction?
They're talking to the nurse, and the nurse says some information and then starts walking them back through the doors.
Can I roll a disguise and follow them?
They don't know who you are.
I put on a doctor's outfit. Oh, Simi, why don't you just put on a doctor's outfit? Neither of them are going to recognize you.
That's true.
I was juggling bricks at the precinct, but 2 hours
ago. So the nurse is gone. I'm going to stand out here and kind of keep an eye out. Why don't you see if you can follow him back discreetly?
I can.
And then,
try
you know, you're a doctor, so why don't you act like you know what you're doing? And the nurse just left the nurse's station, so nobody should stop you.
Yeah, she's leading them back, so you guys are standing here by yourself as they start walking back through one of the doors.
Can I go search the nurse's station real quick to see if we can get, like, a room number for him?
Sure.
We can maybe go back later or something, so we're not walking.
Yeah.
All right.
So you wait for a second for them to go through the doors. Now you guys are alone here at the reception area.
So we bust over to the counter.
Yeah.
The nurse's counter and look at it.
Let's see. Well, you're gonna need a library use.
Oh, library use.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a good one here.
Since this is kind of digging through.
I got 60. So. Should he roll with an extra dice?
Yeah, you can. He can roll with advantage as you're
okay,
helping him.
Advantage. I'm helping you.
All right, here we go. 25.
Ooh, okay, nice. Dang. Okay, so yeah, digging through, searching through the admittance papers or, you know, assignment papers, you do find Raymond Goddard on here, and it does have his room number.
Okay, rewrite it down on my hand.
Okay.
Raymond immediately sweat it off.
Oh, no.
Simi, do you want to try and hurry back there and see if you can listen?
Yeah.
Or do you want to wait?
I disguise myself because if the nurse is with them, they know what she knows what I look like. She knows who I am.
Well, we were with Witherspoon upstairs. That's a different nurse.
Yeah, Witherspoon brought you guys downstairs. You know, you parted ways. She went back upstairs.
Okay, this is a different nurse.
This is like a different nurse that was taking over the reception while Witherspoon was gone.
All right, I got to follow. But I'm going to roll a disguise anyways, just in case.
Okay. You want to you're looking around for a doctor's coat.
Has Dr. Simi worked at the hospital before?
Dr. Simi, have you worked at the hospital here before?
As a psychologist, not really, because they
yes!
think...
Yes! It's been a while since we've heard that.
Yeah.
Because they think my degree is fake and my science background is fake.
They so think they you're don't a fake doctor.
They don't respect me at all.
Okay.
So I need to look like them real quick. So here we go. I got a 5 on disguise. Here we go, boys.
A 5.
79.
Okay.
I write my name on my forehead.
All right. So I'll say your disguise is you attempting to find something to disguise yourself with.
Yeah.
Like a coat. And you're like, that's okay. I got nothing. I got nothing.
So Dr. Simi, you have to, this might be the psych ward. So, you know, you're a psychologist. Just go back and be like, hey, I'm here to talk to Goddard. I'm here to help him out. I'm a psychologist.
Oh, do this it. This is a psych ward. Of course I work here. All right, I'm going. All right, I start off.
Okay.
I got a clipboard in my hand, and I'm like, Goddard? Goddard? Here he is.
Okay, so yeah, you start wandering back. You do know his room number, so you know exactly where you're going. Billy, are you just staying there?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of duck back behind the stairs so that if Crane comes out, he doesn't see me.
Okay.
And, of course, try and watch the door.
Okay. So you're watching the door. Dr. Simeon, you walk back, you open the door, and you see the three people. Crane, what you're assuming is the father, Goddard, the elder, Goddard the elder, and the nurse as they just turn a corner at the end of the hall. The elder Goddard. Yeah, elder Goddard. As they turn a corner at the end of the hall. So do you proceed?
Yes.
Okay.
I proceed.
So Simeon walks in, and you're not trying to hide. You're just trying to look like you know what you, like you belong there.
Yeah.
So walking down the hallway, holding your clipboard, looking around, you know, looking very official and proud and haughty. So you see them turn the corner. As you get to the edge of the corner, you look down, glance at them, and you see them go into Raymond Goddard's room. As they step inside, they actually leave the door open. What do you do?
I walk up and I knock on the door. Knock, knock, knock. All day long. Okay.
So as you walk back, you knock on the open door and step in. They all stop and look up at you. And they're like, And the nurse is like, hello? Yeah, Who are you? What are you here
for? Hey, I am.
Can I help you?
I am Dr. Simi Can't Stand Your Bits. I'm the psychologist on staff. I was called in to do a quick evaluation on Mr. Goddard here.
She starts like looking at her clipboard, and she's like, I haven't heard anything about a psychologist. He is under distress. Let me check with the doctor. I'm sorry. One moment, please.
Hold on.
I'll be right back.
Please don't waste my time. This is a quick evaluation, and I will be lickety split out. This is procedure. Happens all the time. And you know that.
Okay. Roll a... Let's see.
Persuade?
Fast
sure.
talk.
Yeah.
That'd be a fast talk.
So you lay out your credentials. You explain what you're doing. You know, that you're there for a psychological evaluation.
Yep.
Okay. I like it. Yeah, you can roll your persuade.
All right, here we go.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
51, that's a success.
Okay. She's like, oh, okay, yes, I that makes sense. Well, we're here with the family at the moment. So, Mr. Goddard,
very
is
good.
It okay
How are
if
you
he
all doing?
Comes in to examine your son? There's a doctor. And Crane says, doctor, yeah, how you doing?
Good, how are you, detective?
This is my son. He's under some distress. He needs an examination.
Yes.
If you could perhaps discover what it is that he is suffering from. And looking over in the bed, you see a young man in his mid-20s. He looks, he's a handsome guy, or at least he was, but he looks very disheveled. His black hair is messy and just askew. His cheeks are sunken. His eyes are... He's got bags under his eyes. He looks like he hasn't slept and or eaten even. He is awake, though, and he is looking at you.
Yes, well, that's what I'm here to do. I'm going to do a quick evaluation, and we're going to help your son.
Now, Raymond, I need you to tell the doctor everything that's been going on and what it is that is distressing you and what your symptoms are, please. And in the bed, so Raymond, he looks around, he's looking all over the place, and he's looking at you, and he's like, what's distressing me? You know what's distressing me? I can't, what do you mean? I can't tell you. It's that thing, the shadow thing. The radios, where are the radios? I need a radio. Need a radio. Harmon knew. He knew all about it. He knew about the radios. He was onto it. He was wise. He said, somebody get me a radio. I need help. Don't let him get me. Dad, don't let him get me.
Who's gonna get you?
The man. The shadow, the thing. It's after me. It's been after me for days. I can't sleep. I've been on the run. I'm going from place to place. I can't go back home. He finds me everywhere.
Raymond, look at my eyes. Why do you...
Harmon knew it. He knew it. He saw it. I thought he was crazy. He kept buying all those radios, but he wasn't crazy. And he wasn't crazy. He's not crazy.
Raymond,
I'm not crazy either. Don't look at me like that. I don't need a shrink.
Well, as a psychologist, I'd say you do.
He takes a drink.
Why do you need a radio?
Cuz, that's how I know. That's how I know when he's coming. Billy McConnell.
Yeah.
Speaking of radios.
Oh no.
Pull it out of my pocket.
The radio explodes into life again, static, hissing out of its speaker, and also a voice that comes through. Did you hear that voice said, Billy? It sounded like it said, Raymond. Raymond.
So...
And then you hear the static effect fade and fade until it's gone.
Can I hear it moving anywhere in the hospital?
Is it roll listen for me?
77. My listen is 79. Success. Ooh.
Ooh. Also, don't forget you guys have luck, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
My dudes. To spend. Also pushing rolls.
I forgot about pushing rolls.
How is so your Billy listen McConnell. Better than mine, you stupid detective?
As your radio, the static fades out and the lights go dim on the radio, you're listening down the hall through that door behind you. You start hearing what sounds like static picking up, maybe in another room in the distance, down that doorway.
Down the hallway?
Down the hallway.
I book it towards the room.
Okay. So, Billy, you start running back. You burst through the doorway, moving back. And as you're listening, you hear that static fade and then vanish, or it goes back to a regular radio station playing in one of the rooms. As you're listening, you hear another radio down the hall farther as it flares into static and then back to what it was playing before, moving down the hall closer towards Raymond Goddard's room.
I'm heading towards his room. I'm just flat out running.
Okay, he's running. Dr. Simeon, as you're in there having a conversation with Raymond Goddard, you hear footsteps down the hallway sprinting towards you. And you hear Raymond talking. He's still rambling and he's raving about something about the shadow, the thing that's after him. Radios, he needs a radio. Just as Billy McConnell comes skidding into the doorway behind you, Raymond Goddard goes silent and his eyes roll back in his head and he starts making a choking sound.
Simi, it's here. He's here. The radio was talking again.
We got to get Raymond out of here.
And as you step in here, Billy, your radio flares up again. So you hear it, and the static starts going crazy. You hear a voice again. And Raymond Goddard suddenly stops thrashing and goes limp in the bed. The elder Goddard the elder, he starts, he sees this happen and he says, Doctor, what is happening? Help him. Help my son now.
This is beyond my skill, team. He needs elvish medicine.
He needs a real doctor.
Oh, I don't know.
Crane sees you, McConnell. He's like, McConnell, what are you doing here?
Hey, Crane.
Yeah, that's what I thought, McConnell.
My radio just started.
You're not supposed to be.
I was checking out another case in the hospital, and this radio just started squawking out of the blue. I heard it going down the hallway, and I followed it all the way, and it was saying a name. I don't know if you heard it there.
It's still static. The radio's still going.
Is it still saying
Raymond? It did. You did hear it a couple more times.
And it's
did
still going. I'm like, you hear that? You see that? The radio making noises, they saying both, names. Raymond's in here.
As you pointed out, Crane and Mr. Goddard both look down at the radio and their eyes go wide as now they hear distinctly that voice say the name Raymond over the radio in the midst of all the static.
I just followed the radio into here. The radio, it moved down the hallway, and so I'm in here, and I take it that's Raymond Goddard.
Yeah, this is... Yeah, but what about him?
I mean, this is some pretty freaky stuff going on here, Crane. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know about any freaky stuff, all right? He's just he's a young man who's in distress.
The radio's talking. Radio's talking, saying his name.
Radios are supposed to talk. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, like that?
Radios are for.
Come on, Crane.
Yeah, so you can talk and people can hear you from far away. That's what a radio does, right?
Well, the talk radio does not exist yet.
I'm going to invent... haven't you heard the Dr. Phil McGann show? Yeah, that's great. He had that one guy on it.
The about hobo about the stuff. Steam? That was a good episode.
The hobo
okay,
is
my
steaming
bad.
All the drugs.
Yeah.
As we're kind of saying that, I walk over to... Doctor, can't stand you bits. And I just kind of lean in and I say, maybe you can use Command of the Wizard. See if you can get him to wake.
Oh, he's dead, dude.
Oh, Dr. Simi, Dr. Simi, I want you to roll a spot hidden.
Oh, man.
He's dead.
Here he goes. 23. Success.
Okay. So out of the corner of your eye, as you're turning and you're looking at the radio, you're looking up at Billy McConnell and this conversation. Out of the corner of your eye, you see a figure of a shadow standing next to Raymond Goddard's head. At the head of the bed.
Can I use the smiting blast of the foul one to banish him? Would that work on a spirit?
As I'm like talking to Simi, can I see him? I mean, do I notice his face? Like, notice something?
Yeah, roll a psychology.
Okay. I rolled a 5.
Oh, geez.
And that's a pretty dang hard success. Extreme.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you see Simeon's eyes as he looks back towards like the radio and you guys. He's glancing around, he's looking at you guys, and then suddenly his eyes like go out of focus. And you see him stiffen up a little bit. And it's like he's trying to look at something without looking at it. As his eyes kind of go like almost glaze over.
Is he here, Simmy? Can you see him?
He's right there. He's gonna slime me.
Can you touch him? Like, can you feel him? I know you can't really see him, but see him directly. Can you feel anything?
I can just see him, and I feel.
Well, go over
fear.
There and see.
I'm looking at him. I don't need to go over there. You go over there.
All right, I'm gonna walk over there and see if I can swap. I'm like, where is he? Where is he?
I wouldn't get near him if I were you. He just attacked you upstairs,
Billy.
Where
is he, Simmy?
We need to get you out of here.
Okay, you're walking over, you're swatting through
the
air.
Pointed out, like, where he thinks he's kind of standing.
I don't know, Simmy, do you?
He's right above. He's right above his head. He's right above Raymond's head.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I walk over there and see if I can feel anything.
Okay, reaching around, you don't feel anything standing there. Nothing, you don't feel anything physical. But as you guys are standing here and you're watching and you're having this discussion, you see Raymond jerk in the bed, and suddenly you see blood appear on his shirt as wounds suddenly start invisible. Wounds start stabbing into Raymond Goddard's chest. As if from some sort of invisible knife. And he starts gagging. And then another.
I turn, I grab him by the shoulders, and I use Command of the Wizard.
Okay. What do you say?
I say...
Wake up.
Return. That's what I want to say.
All right, cast it.
All right, what do I... I have to use a... Magic point and a sanity point. Okay, I cast it and I say, return! Do I roll or do I just
use my points? You gotta roll a power check.
Okay. Come on, pal. Well, it's a good thing my power is so high because I rolled an 89 and I still succeeded.
Good grief, man.
Good Holy grief, crap. Dude.
But it's against his pal.
I have to roll against you.
Oh, right.
Okay. What did you roll? Regular success?
Yeah.
He also succeeded. So you say that to him. You see his eyelids flutter for a second, but it doesn't seem to have any effect as more of these wounds appear in his body, and blood is just spraying everywhere. You hear Detective Crane and Mr. Goddard behind you. They start freaking out. They're yelling, nurse, get in here, doctor, help, as the static on your radio is flaring in and out, almost getting to an ear-piercing whine, until finally it cuts off. And Raymond Goddard goes still.
Take a step back. Get out of the way of nurses and doctors.
The nurses, doctors come running in. They're looking around. They are in shock at what has happened in here. They start yelling to each other. They start pushing everybody out of the way, trying to start performing medicine and first aid on him in order to try and do something to save his life. Those of you in the room suspect it's most likely already too late.
Look over at Simmy.
Did his bowels
Wait
release?
Until he makes eye contact with me. And then give him a head nod towards the door.
Alright, and we tiptoe backwards out of the room. And
and then we just kind of...
Leave in the commotion. Okay. All right. I won't make you roll it, because there is a lot of commotion, and somebody just got invisibly stabbed to death in front of everyone. So yeah, you guys are able to slip out in the commotion pretty easily as you leave the hospital room. Where do you go?
Did they just see a man?
You don't know because you're
stabbed by invisible knives and not roll a sanity check.
Oh, meta host.
Oh,
that's a good point. That's a good
meta keep.
I want you guys to roll a sanity check.
I'm going to meta keep.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Man, I'm terrible. I always forget sanity rolls.
Oh, I failed.
Oh, you're going to have to go and do your shirt.
You guys both failed?
Yep. I rolled an 84. My sanity's 68.
Okay. All right. I want you guys to roll a... That's a pretty big thing. You have seen it before, though.
It happened to me. Roll... I'm like, man.
Yeah, so Simi hasn't seen this. So this is new for him.
Well,
all right. All right, let's go for a D6.
Okay.
Oh, dude. Shut your damn mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you roll no.
Six? I rolled a freaking six.
I rolled
six.
A six.
Donovan rolled also a six rolled too? A six. Oh.
Billy all McConnell right. And Simi can't stand your bits.
All
right.
Now roll an intelligence check.
Yeah. Let's get an intelligence check on both.
Here we go.
Are both pretty
seven.
Smart.
Damn it!
Donovan had an
Can I switch those? Can I switch those?
49 for me.
Okay.
Wait, 700 is
you
what
both
I meant to
succeeded.
Say.
As the events of the day finally are too much for you guys to take, and the ramifications of everything that you're seeing is all finally... crashing down on you. The long day that you've had, Billy, you've been up all night, and then watching Raymond Goddard be stabbed to death by unseen hands or appendages in front of you without being able to do anything about it, finally just pushes both of you over the edge.
Yeah, my sanity was actually only 61. I was looking at my luck.
Oh.
No, I'm at 44 now, Alex.
Yeah, I'm down to 56.
Okay.
So I roll a D10 to get my what bout I got?
Yes.
I rolled a 2 for my whatever bout that is.
Your psychosomatic disability.
What is that?
The investigator suffers psychosomatic blindness, deafness, or loss of the use of a limb.
So, since both of you guys are having this bout of madness, and there's not really any of your other teammates around to really do anything about it, I'm going to say that you guys just kind of wander out of the room, and you wander back to the reception area, and you both just, like, sit down on some of the chairs out there and just kind of go into shock.
Lose time
and just
sense.
Kind of exactly just kind of lose sense and go completely into shock just sitting on these chairs next to each other.
Dang, what's an 8? I rolled an 8, by the way, so I don't. What's an 8, Seth? I'm just curious.
Physical hysterics or emotional outburst.
I actually like that. Like, so you guys go back and you both kind of go into shock. Simi, you just like lean back and.
Can't
Billy McConnell. Yeah, and you can't like hear or see anything. It's just everything just kind of fades out. And Billy McConnell, you lean forward and just put your head in your hands and you just start sobbing as you just have a complete breakdown.
It's just too much.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening to this episode of The Arkham Files. This is Peter, more commonly known as the voice of Dom Grunkard, among other things. But most importantly, the best-looking member of The Arkham Files. I don't care what Abe says. Alex recently pointed you to our merch store for some sweet Dr. Simi underpants. We have a lot of other good stuff available, such as a Dohaven t-shirt, if you want to look like a national treasure everywhere you go. Check us out on patreon.com/thearkhamfiles, where you can sign up to receive amazing bonuses, such as bonus episodes and access to our exclusive Gilded server, so you can talk to more of the cast than just me. Also, check us out on social media, hit subscribe on whichever podcast platform you're listening to us on right now to get alerted every time that we have a new episode. Thanks again for listening, subscribing, and interacting. Be dangerous and stay sane.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.